Ruffling the pages of my book, I sank further into the couch and drew my knees up to shelter the hardback. Shit, that's impressive. High praise coming from Grayson Masters. Right, but all hell breaks loose if we open the front door at the same time. We learned that one the hard way, Sam told him. My entire renovation file had turned into that letter scene from Harry Potter. Papers had flown everywhere. Just remembering the pain of picking them all up and getting them back in order was enough to make me press the middle button. The windows reversed their previous pattern until they formed a solid wall against the wind. I bet it does. Hey, Morgan, Grayson called out. Sam pivoted the laptop so I found myself staring at the Apache pilot's face. Guy was a bodybuilder, and from the unforgiving cut of his already carved chin, I guessed he spent most of his free time at the gym over there. What do you want, Grayson? I teased, the tone coming easily. Being myself around him was easier than with the others. Then again, he'd had a front row seat to my pain fest, so it wasn't like I had to hide anything around him. A corner of his mouth lifted to what could almost be called a smile. It's good to see you too, Morgan. It's always lovely to see your happy, shiny face. I laid on the accent thick and gave him a nose scrunch that made Sam laugh. Tell me you've thought about hurricanes with those giant-ass windows. His smile slipped. I scoffed. Turn your husband around, Sam. Watch this, she told him as she turned him to face the now closed windows. I pressed the bottom button on the remote and was immediately rewarded with a whirring sound. The room fell dark as the metal shutters descended, finally locking into place just below the deck level. Now that is sexy, Grayson remarked. European rolling shutters, I said loud enough for him to hear me, then pressed the button again and watched as the shutters rose, drenching the room with light. Sam beamed at the laptop, and I looked away, giving my attention to my book. I take that back, Grayson said. You're the sexy one. God, I miss you, baby.
I miss you too, she answered quietly, her voice tinged with sadness.
I looked at the words on the page but didn't read them. What if this was the last time she got to talk to him? What if his helicopter crashed, just like Will's had?
Do me one favor, Sam asked as she settled onto the other end of the couch.
Anything,
he promised. My heart ached, but I shook it off. Did I want a love like that?
Yes, but was I jealous of what they were going through right now to make it work? Hell no.
Tell Morgan to forgive Mr. Hottie Coast Guard rescue pilot next door, she asked her husband sweetly.
My head popped up and I gave her a good glare. She blatantly ignored me. Hell no. I'm not getting in the middle of that.
I knew I loved you for a reason, Grayson, I called over to him.
Sam rolled her eyes.
Fine, at least tell her that she has to talk to him, she said, turning her head and aiming those last words right at me. That man has left her a piece of sea glass on the doorstep every single day since she told him off. Every day. At least hear his side of the story.
My eyes drifted to the small pile on the side table, six pieces in all.
I know all the story I need to,
I retorted, trying to focus on the letters that filled the page. He flies a glorified version of the same damned helicopter as Will. End of story. If he's a Black Hawk guy, you tell her to run, Grayson teased. If she's going to fall for a pilot, at least make sure he flies a real bird.
It's a Jayhawk,
I fired back before I could stop myself. Funny what you could learn on Google. Sam sent me a knowing smile and I glared for good measure.
If you cared enough to look his shit up, then it's not the end of the story, Grayson remarked. No more love for you, Mr. Masters, I replied. You know he looked Will up online, right?
That would get Grayson back on my side.
He swore, and I lifted a corner of my lips in a slight smirk. It felt good to be right.
If he's that into you, I can't really blame him. If I'd thought someone stood between Sam and me, I wouldn't have stopped at a Google search.
Traitor, my eyes narrowed. That's my man.
Sam's smile was contagious, and I found myself shaking my head with a slight scoff of a laugh. In truth,
The only reason I hadn't Googled Jackson's ex was because I didn't want to know anything about her or anyone who could walk away from their family the way she had. The creak of a door opening sounded from the laptop, and a muffled voice came over the speaker. "Shit, I have to go, baby. I love you."
"I love you," she replied. "Be safe, okay?"
"Always," he answered. Then he was gone. Sam shut the laptop, then held it to her chest as her head fell to the back of the couch.
"I miss him so damned much."
"I know you do. I'm sorry." I closed my book, then scooted so that I sat next to her.
"What do you want to do today?
We can do anything you want."
I'd already listened to this week's recording of the Will story and rewarded myself with a trip to Christina's shop, where I'd spent an hour looking at all the gorgeous sea glass necklaces she had, so my day was wide open.
"Anything?" Sam asked, her eyes sad as she stared up at the new swirling ceiling fan.
"Anything," I assured her.
She sat up and put the laptop on the coffee table.
"Good, because I want you to stop wallowing and go talk to Jackson."
"Anything but that." I got off the couch and abandoned my copy of To the Lighthouse on the table.
"Come on, Morgan. You're miserable. You've been miserable for the past week. I've given you time to process, but now you're just stewing, and I'm not going to sit here silently while you push him away."
She followed me as I headed toward the kitchen. It was the next major renovation.
"Newsflash, I've been miserable for the past 2 years," I fired back.
Next week it would be exactly 2 years, and though I tried not to think about the approaching date, it lingered in my mind every possible minute.
"And it's not like we have some relationship that I'm losing. He's just a guy who lives next door."
I got out 2 glasses and set them on the counter.
"Tea?"
"Only if it's sweet," she replied, leaning back against the formica.
"Honey, it's the South.
It's always sweet." I poured us 2 glasses.
"He's not just a guy who lives next door," she argued, then thanked me for the tea as I passed her a glass. "He's the guy you want, the guy you said kissed like a god."
"Maybe I over-exaggerated," I sipped my tea, knowing full well that I hadn't. Kissing Jackson was a religious experience. The man knew exactly what he was doing in that department, and he did it so well that my heart picked up the pace just thinking about it. If that man could rev me up using only his mouth, what would the rest of his body be capable of?
"Uh-huh,"
she challenged, lifting her eyebrow as she called out my bullshit.
"None of that matters," I grumbled.
"The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And I'm not involving myself with another heartbreak just waiting to happen when I haven't fixed myself from the last one."
"You don't know that he's a heartbreak," Sam argued. "What if he's the love of your life and you missed out because you were too stubborn to walk across the damned yard and talk like adults?"
That wasn't possible. Will was the love of my life.
Wasn't he?
But what if he wasn't? Damn, was I a horrible person for even thinking that?
"Morgan?"
Sam asked, clearly expecting an answer. I blinked, trying to recall what she'd said.
"Even if he wasn't a pilot, it wouldn't work. The man is in love with his ex, whether or not he denies it. I heard it in his voice when he talked about her. I'm not getting involved with someone who sees me as some kind of consolation prize. No. Thank you."
Sam sighed.
"And again, you don't know that. You're assuming.
We have so few chances to be happy. I almost missed out on my chance with Grayson because I was sure that he still loved Grace. And now I can't imagine what my life would have looked like without him in it." What did my life look like without Jackson? My heart stuttered in protest, but I couldn't trust that thing anyway. It had been through worse. I'd survive. What I wouldn't survive was the moment he inevitably crashed into the damned ocean.
"That's different," I shook my head. "You guys are the definition of fate and happily ever after."
"We're the definition of a really good fight," Sam countered.
"Look, I know the guy lied. And if what you're doing is punishing him with your silence, then I'm all for it. Make him suffer until you feel he's paid the price for being an asshole and hiding his job from you.
Had in his job? It's not that simple. I braced my hands against the counter as my stupid, foolish heart split in two. One side siding with logic and self-preservation, and the other siding with him. I know that. She set her glass down and gave me the motherlode of all sighs. What do you like about him? What? Humor me? She shrugged. What could it possibly hurt to answer? It's not like he's listening, or you're giving him hope or something. Her eyebrows rose. Unless you're scared that talking about it is going to make you rush up his stairs and jump him like you did at the top of that lighthouse, which, by the way, gives that boy an A+ in the romantic date category. I don't care how pissed off you are. The uninvited memory of his eyes in the moonlight and his arms around me smacked me in the heart, followed by the way his kiss had robbed me of every thought except more and now. Fine, I growled, ignoring Sam's little clap of happiness. I like that he sees me. Not just the shell that everyone does, but he actually sees me. It's like the man has X-ray vision for bullshit, because I can't fake anything around him. And in a way, it's so much easier because I don't even have to try. Okay, and? She urged me on, hopping onto the counter and kicking her feet. And I like that he's a really good dad. Finley comes first and he makes no excuses for that. His son rises and sets on that little girl. And it might sound weird, but that's ridiculously hot. That's not weird. That's thousands of years of biology. Sam shrugged. What else? I tucked my hair behind my ears. I like that he pushes my boundaries. Though I wish he'd let us stay in every once in a while. And I like that he's patient with me and so very careful. But he doesn't treat me like I'm breakable or weak. He just treats me like I'm something precious. Because you are, she assured me. I humphed a little. I like that he thinks so. I like that he's sure enough to tell me that he wants me, and then actually throw down and fight about it. I've never had anyone willing to really fight for me before. It had always been me fighting for Will, begging him to give us a chance. That's definitely a plus in his column, Sam noted. What else? He knows I'm a mess. He's seen me fall to the ground during an anxiety attack and he didn't run. He just helped me through it and came back for more. He's seen me assault Will's truck and he still showed up at the door every day. The door you refuse to open? Sam remarked with a judgy little flick of her gaze. I like that he keeps coming back, I admitted softly. I don't want to, but I do. Hell, I like that about him too. And I like that ever since he's been coming around, you've begun looking at the world again. I like the hope that he gives me that you might just be happy one day. I swallowed, feeling a slight burn in my throat. But the anxiety didn't kick in full throttle. Visualizing my throat opening, I slowly felt the muscles relax. When I'm with him, Will isn't always the first thought in my mind, I admitted quietly. I'm not saying I don't think about him when I'm with Jackson, because I do. But he kind of fades into the background. There's just not a lot of room for anyone else in my head when Jackson's around. The confession felt sinful, and I looked up at Sam, waiting for her to dole out my penance. I think that's a good thing, too, she said with a small, sad smile. There's always going to be a part of you that loves Will. But that doesn't mean you don't have room in your heart for someone else, Morgan, or that your heart won't grow to fit someone else in time. I feel guilty, I whispered. I know, and you shouldn't. Dr. Searcy said that it's okay to start a new relationship. Remember? In fact, she encouraged it at the same appointment she asked you to fill out that sheet about your not-so-stellar memories about Will. She nodded at the worksheet that still sat empty at the end of the counter. I had a feeling it might be my first truly failed homework assignment. How was it fair to Will that I was supposed to trash him for homework while moving forward with Jackson? The homework is going to have to wait, and even if I wanted Jackson, how can I expect him to understand that my emotional speed limit rivals a sloth? That's exactly what you tell him, and you want him, even if you're not ready to admit it. I know you. Her eyes softened in sympathy. I shook my head. Okay, tell me something you don't like about him, she challenged before taking a sip of her tea. I rolled mine between my hands and brought my eyes up to meet hers. I hate that he flies helicopters, and not just any helicopter. It's the Coast Guard version of Will's. What kind of messed up fate is that? I hate this feeling that grips my belly when I think that if I fall for him, really and truly fall, that I won't survive having to bury him. I know that's really selfish of me to say considering that Grayson's in Afghanistan. Stop! She fixed a determined stare on me. You lost the man you loved, and I didn't. You get to say whatever you want to me whenever you want to say it. Now you listen. Jax isn't Grayson. Or Will. I flinched, but I held her gaze. Jax is a pilot, yes, but no one shoots at him. He's not going to Afghanistan or Iraq or anywhere like it. He's going out there, she pointed toward the wall of windows, so he can save lives. That's who that man is. He saves people. And you get to worry. God, I hate that it comes with the territory, but it does. Will's death traumatized you. And knowing that Jax flies is going to fuck with your head. That's understandable. That doesn't make you a mess. It makes you human. Plus, I've seen that man shirtless, and I'm shocked that didn't make your like list. Go figure, that boy is a damned pilot. You'd think we'd be better at spotting them by now. I guess I have a type, I drawled, rolling my eyes. Girl, don't we all? She grinned. You're just going to have to decide if all those things you like about him are outweighed by the one thing you don't. Mercy. I was an idiot for even thinking about it, for contemplating doing exactly what Sam suggested and talking to Jackson about my limits and our possibilities. Maybe it made me a traitor to Will's memory, but I wanted Jackson in my life. What if he wouldn't wait for me to pull my shit together? What if I couldn't get past his job? But what would happen if I didn't even try? You have one more homework assignment today, right? Sam prodded. I sighed. The truck. The truck, she nodded. Want me to come with you? No, I've got this. I forced a fake smile and Sam rolled her eyes. I do. I can do it. Okay, then get out there and open that door. 10 seconds. You hear me? She ordered as I walked past her. 10 seconds, I agreed. And try not to beat the shit out of it this time, she called after me as I made it out the front door. I shut it extra hard. Embarrassed didn't even start to cover how I felt about that night, about what Jackson had seen before Sam forced him to go home. I'd been completely unhinged in my anger, and yet it had been the freest I'd been with my emotions since forever. I approached the truck like it was a wild animal ready to devour me if I turned my back. 10 seconds, I told myself. Just open the door wide and look inside the truck for 10 seconds, then close it. Dr. Searcy had given me the assignment yesterday, calling it my next step in situational avoidance. Somehow, this seemed easier than disparaging Will on a piece of paper. The handle was warm from the sun as my fingers wrapped around it. I took a deep breath and tugged. The door clicked open and I swung it wide, stepping back so it didn't hit me. One. The scent of warm leather reached me just long enough for Will to flood my mind. His voice filled my head, laughing, as he put his baseball hat on over my hair. Two. The breeze gusted, whipping past me, clearing that scent. Three. His wings were still pinned to the visor on the driver's side. Four. The sunlight caught on his dog tags and I couldn't look away. Five, six, seven. Those weren't the ones he was wearing when it happened. Eight. His mother had that set. Nine. She had the flag, too, when she was sober enough to remember where she put it. 10. I grabbed the edge of the door and slammed it home. Not in anger this time, but in pure desperation to shut the metaphorical door. My chest heaved. I did it. There was no anxiety attack looming or anything. The memories stopped with the closing of the door. Oddly enough, I felt in control for the first time, as if I'd gained the power to open or shut the door to Will himself when I chose to. I turned around to head back into the house and found Jackson staring at me from the middle of our yards. My heart did a somersault. He looked mouth-wateringly good, but there was nothing different. I bet the man even looked delicious when he was hungover or sick, which was just unfair. He tucked his hands in his pockets and tilted his head to the side slightly as his mouth tightened and his eyes begged me to come closer. He was trying to give me the space I'd forced between us, and it only made me like him even more for it. My pulse spiked, and the half of my heart that had lobbied for self-preservation turned traitor at the yearning in his expression. Oh God, how could I walk away from him? What if I never felt this way again? The first step was the hardest, but the others came easily as I made my way over to him. Morgan. His gaze raked over me hungrily, as if he was searching for some kind of answer. Hi, Jackson. My lips lifted in a smile, and his entire posture relaxed. I've been trying to talk to you. Please, you have to let me explain. He moved forward but kept his hands in his pockets. You don't have to explain. He was close enough that I caught the faint scent of cologne as I craned my neck to look up at him. No, Morgan, please. His hands flew from his pockets to gently cradle my face. Please don't kill this before you give me a chance to talk to you. My hands covered his, and my thumbs gently stroked the backs of his hands. I mean, you don't owe me an explanation. Not for any of it. His brow knit in clear confusion. Your parents died in a boating accident, I said softly. It makes sense that you would decide to become the one person who could have saved them. And as for the other thing, I swallowed but didn't look away. I would have thrown his name into Google if I were you, too. Then I would have gone through every post on his social media and mine until I figured out exactly what our relationship had been. I can't fault you for wanting answers that I was in no place to give, though I wish you had given me the time and the chance to tell you myself. His eyes squeezed shut, and his forehead fell against mine to rest there lightly. I don't deserve you. You say that like I'm a reward, when there's every chance I'm the very trial that might drive you to drink, I teased with a hint of complete truth. What does this mean? He pulled back enough to keep eye contact. I don't know. I'm answering as honestly as I can. It scares the living bejesus out of me that you fly, and I'm not sure I can get past it. But I'm hoping that you might give me a little patience and grace and maybe just wait a little bit so my head and my heart can sort themselves out. I'll give you whatever time you need. I'm not going anywhere, he promised. I'll wait forever if it means I get the chance to kiss you again. This man's mouth was going to be the death of me. I didn't have any words to respond with, so I rose on my toes and brushed my mouth over his, then truly kissed him. It was soft and chaste, but the meaning of it hit me harder than any passionate encounter could have. Better? He smiled against my mouth. Infinitely. I pulled back slightly when I heard his door open and close, knowing Finley would follow. I'll tell you about Will. If you want to know more than what the articles said, you just have to be patient. I have this thing. It's called complicated grief, and it makes it really hard to talk about him, but it's getting better. His eyes widened, and he nodded quickly. I want to know whatever you're willing and ready to tell me. Morgan! Finley called out as she thundered down the steps. Hey, Finn! I pulled out of Jackson's arms and waved at her as she raced toward me. Shit. Morgan, there's something I need to tell you, Jackson began.
I've missed you. Where have you been? I have so many shells to show you.
Finley's words came at me with the same speed that she did, and I barely maintained my balance as she tackled me with a hug. I've missed you too. I wrapped my arms around her and hugged her tight. I can't wait to see the shells. She grinned up at me, sporting two pigtail French braids.
Wow, I love your braids.
They looked fantastic, even if a little tight.
Thanks. Mommy did them.
She nodded enthusiastically. Everything went wobbly as my questioning gaze flew toward Jackson. Mommy?
That's what...
Yes, Mommy. A clipped feminine voice asserted from a few feet away. As in her mother. Who would be me? Sweet mercy, the woman was breathtakingly beautiful. Her clothes were obviously couture, her body flawless, and her makeup expert. Her auburn hair was a shade darker than Finley's, and her complexion was worthy of a skincare ad. No wonder she was an actress. No wonder Jackson had fallen in love with her. Suddenly, my shorts and tank top felt dowdy next to her silk blouse, and I regretted not wearing a stitch of makeup. She arched a delicate eyebrow, as if she could read my mind. "You must be Claire," I said, finding my voice and forcing a smile. This woman created Finley, and obviously the little girl was happy to have her near, so the least I could do was be happy for her. "I'm Morgan. It's lovely to meet you."
"Right. Finley mentioned you a few times."
She walked forward and put her hand on Finley's shoulder, careful not to touch me in the process.
"Why don't you get in the car, baby? Daddy and I don't want to be late."
Daddy and I. Good Lord, I found myself smack in the middle of a family. My cheeks stained with color as Finley waved goodbye and ran toward the garage. Claire scanned me from head to toe, her eyes lingering on my feet that hadn't seen a pedicure since week one of the reward system.
"Aren't you just the cutest neighbor ever when you're not losing your mind and slamming doors over and over?"
My stomach fell out of my body. "Claire!" Jackson snapped a warning and stepped toward me.
"What?"
She gave him a genuine smile.
"I was just admiring Finley's friend and her exceptionally well-projected voice. Sound really does carry, you know."
She motioned between our two houses. She'd heard my entire breakdown? Wait, she'd been in Jackson's house while we were out on a date? My heart joined my stomach. "Stop," he growled. "And you damn well know that Morgan isn't just Finley's friend. She's more than a friend to me." His hand moved to the small of my back. Well, if that wasn't awkward, what the hell were we, anyway? And if Claire knew what we were or were not, what did that mean they were? Was this just a visit? Was she staying with him? Were they sleeping together 50 feet away from my house? It was too much. This was too much.
"Right," Claire offered me a sugar-sweet smile. "Well, if you're ready..."
"I'll be there in a second. Why don't you get Finn buckled?"
He nodded toward the garage.
"I can wait,"
she replied. I was going to die right here, right now. Had she seen me kiss Jackson? Was she kissing Jackson? It's not like we were exclusive since we weren't...
well, anything.
"Claire?"
It was a clear warning. She pouted.
"Fine, I'll go. Just hurry up. You were the one who told me her pediatrician doesn't like it when we're late, and I want to make a good impression now that I'm home."
Her gaze slid toward me and sharpened.
"For good."
I was going to be sick. She wiggled her fingers in a little wave and sauntered off for the car, swinging her hips expertly.
"Morgan,
is that what you wanted to tell me?"
I backed away from him. "Yes, I just didn't have time." His eyes were wide and panicked.
"Because I was busy kissing you. Again."
I shook my head. How stupid can I possibly be?
"You're not."
He reached for me, but I retreated again.
"Look, she's home, but that doesn't change anything between us."
"Doesn't change anything?"
I challenged. "Jackson, that's the mother of your child. All you've ever wanted was for her to come home, and now she's here."
"Claire isn't living with me. She's living with her mom. We're not together. She's just here because Finn has an appointment for her kindergarten shots. Nothing changes between you and me, Morgan. Nothing."
The plea in his eyes nearly undid me.
"Jax, we have to get going,"
Claire shouted from the driveway. Everything this man wanted was wrapped up in that gorgeous little package. From her perfect fucking hair to her designer clothes, she was Finley's mama. She was his chance at the happily ever after he'd waited for since the day she left. It was just too much, too complicated, too...
Oh, screw this!
"Morgan, we'll talk later, I promise." Jackson raked his hand over his hair. I pushed past the pain and forced a smile.
Your family is waiting for you, Jackson.
Then I walked away, keeping my composure as I made my way up my steps. Morgan, please.
Jax!
Mercy, that woman's voice was loud, but I guess mine was too. I'm at my emotional capacity for the day. Now go, I told him, because he was still standing there, staring up at me with so much angst in those eyes that I couldn't stand it. I dropped the pretense of dignity and flat out ran the rest of the way, slamming my front door once I was through it.
Everything okay? Sam asked,
her eyes widening as she took in my expression.
I found another thing about Jackson that I don't like.
It was the biggest understatement of my life. I was so sick of this shit.
What was so wrong with me that I couldn't have just a glimmer of happiness? Was that too much to ask? Or at least a little less pain? Less pain. God, that sounded good. Numb sounded even better.
Yep, that was the goal for the night.
Oh, no,
she sighed. Call Mia. We're going out.
Chapter 13. Jackson. 2 Finley-less weekends in a row? Sawyer questioned as the bartender handed him a draft. She's with Claire. I sipped on ice water and stared up at the ball game playing on the flat screen above the bar. Garrett's eyebrows shot up on the other side of me, and I didn't miss the look that passed between my friends. And how is that going? Sawyer asked, trying not to make it awkward but managing the opposite. Well, she's made it 2 hours without calling me to ask a question that Finley can answer herself, so I guess that's improvement. At least she's with Vivian, so I don't have to worry about the fact that my daughter's mother knows jack and shit about her kid. I rubbed the condensation from my glass and wondered for the 50th time where Morgan had hidden herself away. She wasn't at home. The minute I'd dropped Finn off for her first weekend with Mom, I'd headed straight to Morgan's. I hadn't even parked in my own driveway. Not that it mattered. Morgan and Sam weren't there. Sawyer sent Garrett a beseeching look, and Garrett sighed in response. Guess he drew the short straw. So, is she here to stay, Claire? He asked, peeling the label off the bottle he hadn't taken a sip from. She says she is, but hell if I know. That woman's mind changes with the weather, and usually I don't care, but she's told Finley she's staying. And that means I'll have a broken-hearted 5-year-old when something bigger and better comes along. Hence why I wasn't drinking. For all I knew, Claire would call in an hour and say she changed her mind, and Finley needed to come home. And are you two together? Sawyer asked, taking a cue from Garrett. Hell no. Never again. Did seeing her fuck with my head a little? Sure. Was I remotely interested in rekindling something that had died so thoroughly it would need life support and a miracle? Not in the least. Okay. Garrett narrowed his eyes at Sawyer and then huffed. So that means you and Morgan? What is it with the questions? I shot both my best friends a glare. We're trying to be supportive, Sawyer said with a shrug, then winked at a girl across the bar. Well, stop. You're just making it really fucking weird. My cell phone vibrated, and I lifted my ass off the bar stool just enough to slide it out of my back pocket. Morgan. I fumbled for the answer button, which earned me a WTF look from Garrett, but I managed to swipe it across without making too much of an ass out of myself. Morgan?
No, it's Sam,
she shouted over the background noise. Sam, is Morgan okay? My brow puckered.
Define okay, she answered.
Is she hurt?
No, nothing like that, but I think I might need your help.
There was a muffled scrape, like she had put her hand over the mic.
Mia, don't encourage her.
The background noise swamped the call again.
Sorry, look, I swore I would never call a guy to help me pull a friend off a bar.
What? I snapped. Both Garrett and Sawyer's heads twisted my way. Then Garrett asked for the tab. Morgan was on a bar?
Do you think you can get to Avon? I think you might be the only one she'll listen to, or the only one who can muscle her down at this point anyway.
Tell me where you are. I'll be there in 15 minutes. 14 minutes later, I parked my car, killed the engine, and took the front stairs 2 at a time, flanked by Garrett and Sawyer. Jesus, Who trucked in the frat guys? Garrett asked. The college crowd had filled the bar, consuming the long wooden counter that ran the length of the space and overflowing to the pool table area.
Jax!
Sam called out from the right side of the bar. I nodded and pushed my way through the crowd. Where is she?
With Mia.
Sam glared up at me and jabbed her finger in my chest.
One thing first. I really need you to stop fucking with her, Jax. She hasn't had a drink since I can't even remember when, and after one conversation with you, the girl is 3 martinis down and sitting on the damn bar like she's holding court.
Shit. How bad was she? I had no clue Claire was going to show up like that, and when she did, Morgan wasn't speaking to me. What did you want me to do? Write it in a note and slip it under the door? I shot back.
You could have hired a skywriter for all I care. I don't give a shit how you relay the information, just that you do. But honestly, you're not my priority. She is. You let her walk straight into another shitstorm you created after I'd spent all damned weekend trying to clean up your last one.
Sawyer slid to my side and grinned at Sam. I think I'm in love. Did you hear the way she just ripped into Montgomery? He asked Garrett. Yes, because we're both standing right here, you moron. Garrett shook his head.
Sam arched an eyebrow at Sawyer. Let me guess, cocky, good-looking, and hanging out with this guy? You're another pilot too, right?
Yep. Sawyer's grin got even bigger.
And you?
She turned her gaze on Garrett. Rescue swimmer. Flying is for the boys too scared to get wet.
And you are?
Sawyer asked.
Married, she replied, flashing her ring. Now if you're done...
My bad. Sawyer's hands went up as the jukebox changed to Sweet Home Alabama. A flash of red caught my eye, and I leaned around the corner enough to see Morgan swaying with Mia, sitting on the bar in the middle of a horde of guys. I sucked in a breath. It was no wonder she was surrounded. Damn. She was gorgeous. Her sleeveless red top was cut low and tied just above the waist of an impossibly short jean skirt. I wasn't even sure I'd call the thing a skirt, honestly, since it revealed so much of those long legs. Her cowboy boots swung slightly as she sang along to Lynyrd Skynyrd, her arms loose in the air as she and Mia belted out the chorus. She wasn't drinking. She was drunk. She's had 3 martinis? I asked Sam as I planned my best route for attack.
Yeah,
she cringed. That was a good amount of alcohol, but it wouldn't explain her sloppy motions as she brushed her hair out of her face. I glanced from Sam to Morgan and back again before it hit me. Oh, fuck. Is she on anti-anxiety meds? Sam nodded.
Daily, she's not supposed to drink, but I figured she deserved a glass of wine after the shit you put her through today. I guess Morgan thought she deserved something a little stronger.
Damn, who's that girl next to Morgan? Sawyer asked.
Sam snapped her fingers in his face. No,
she moved it toward Garrett.
Not you either. Last thing I need is my husband getting home from deployment and going straight to jail for murder.
Noted, Sawyer replied, already scanning the crowd for his next conquest. I wasn't even looking, Garrett swore. When the guys around Morgan urged her to dance on the bar top, I decided it was time to move. I waded through the sea of Axe body spray with Garrett and Sawyer at my back. Living here for the last 5 years had taught me that the only thing lacking more than inhibitions with celebrating tourists was their common sense. Get out of my way, I growled at the polo-wearing pretty boy who was inching his hand toward Morgan's thigh. The guy shot me a glare but took one look at my face, hopefully seeing the promised murder in my eyes, then glanced back at Sawyer and Garrett and moved. All yours, he mumbled, staggering away. Was I ever that young and stupid?
Mr. Carolina!
Mia waved as I put myself between the women.
Well, if it isn't the reason I'm drinking.
Morgan greeted me with a sweet tone and an equally sweet, fake-ass smile.
Did you come all the way over here to help me pick out a guy to go home with? There have been quite a few propositions for being so early in the evening. I've counted 4 so far.
Mia added, the only guy taking you home is me. My gut twisted at the thought of any other possibility.
Really? Claire didn't seem like that kind of woman who'd be up for sharing. You should probably ask her first.
Her smirk lit a fire in my belly. What had she said about the old version of her having a sharp tongue? I smothered my temper, counted to three, then gripped her hips and hauled her from the bar to the stool Polo Shirt Boy had vacated. "Umph!" she grunted, bouncing slightly as she landed. "Who made you the resident party pooper?" She tilted her head back and looked up at me with glazed eyes. Sam was worried, and apparently for good reason. "You're hammered." The harsh tone was at odds with the gentle touch as I tucked her hair behind her ears. "Sam?" Morgan's eyes widened, and her head swiveled to see her friend on the other side of the stool. "Girl, you need to go home alone, and you weren't listening, so I called in reinforcements." She shrugged unapologetically. Morgan's finger rose slowly, pointing at Sam. "You, of all people, called a boy to get me off a bar?" "Man," I corrected. Sam rolled her eyes. "This is not the same. Traitor. At least you had Will to blame for calling Jagger and Grayson on you." Holy shit. She'd dropped his name in a casual conversation. Was that progress or alcohol talking? Morgan reached for the rest of her martini, but I beat her to it. "And that's enough of that." I gave the glass back to the bartender.
"For the love of God, could y'all untwist your panties? I can have a drink. I'm legal and everything. Want to see my ID?"
"You're also mixing alcohol with your meds," I said quietly, leaning down so only she could hear me. "One amplifies the other. It's why you feel so drunk."
"Darling, maybe I should have done this a long time ago,"
she retorted, turning her face so our lips were an inch apart of that.
"It's a miraculous painkiller."
"It'll hurt plenty in the morning," I promised.
"What would you care? No doubt you'll be cuddled up with your ex."
She arched a brow at me and leaned in, but lost her balance. "Enough. Morgan, I'm not with Claire. She showed up the same night we went to the lighthouse. I had no clue she was coming, and I meant it when I said that it changes nothing between us because I want you." I steadied her waist as she gripped my search and rescue tee. Fuck, her skin was so incredibly soft under my fingers. A wicked grin spread across her face, and she skimmed my jaw with her lips.
"Do you now?"
Every muscle in my body tightened, but I found the strength to pull back. "In every way possible. When you're sober." She huffed and nodded loosely at the crowd of college kids.
"That guy didn't care if I was sober."
"Ouch. That guy is an asshole," I ground out, reminding myself to thank Sam for calling me. Morgan would have beaten the shit out of herself for going home with a stranger. And then I probably would have beaten the shit out of the stranger for taking advantage of her.
"I just wanted to be numb for a minute,"
she drawled softly. "Yeah, I can imagine you did." I sure as hell didn't blame her. I would have been drunk every day of my life if I'd been through what she had. "Why don't you let me take you home, kitty? Any decisions you make when you're this wasted will be the kind you regret in the morning." She blinked away a slight sheen of tears, dropping her gaze to her hands as she smoothed them over my chest.
"We're too complicated. It's just one thing after another with you. I can't get my feet under me before you knock them out."
"I'm the only complicated one in this relationship." Her gaze flew back to mine, but she didn't debate my choice of terminology.
"I have a dead quasi-boyfriend who I loved way more than he ever liked me. You have a helicopter that's just waiting to kill you, and an inhumanly beautiful baby mama who's so desperate to mark her territory that I half expected her to pee on you this afternoon."
I stifled the laugh that tried to escape and cradled her face with one hand. "I have a helicopter that I'm damned good at flying, and a heart-stoppingly gorgeous Morgan who I would really like to put to bed.
But not take to bed. I seem to have that effect on the guys I actually like."
She leaned into my palm. What the hell had her quasi-ex put her through to make her think that? I lowered my forehead to hers. "Don't get me wrong, kitty. I want to take you to bed. I would fucking kill to take you to bed. I've fantasized about getting my hands on you since the moment we met. But the first time you scream my name, the only thing in your system will be me. I'm not about to be one of your regrets when I have the option to be your choice. Get it? I'm not trading the possibility of an entire future with you for a couple orgasms on a single night, no matter how fucking edible you look right now." She blinked.
"Okay. That was good."
"I know." I grinned.
"Are you taking anyone else to bed?"
Her eyes narrowed. "What? No. I haven't so much as looked at another woman since you moved in." Was that what this was about? Claire's timing was utter shit as usual.
So, we're exclusive, even though we're not together?
Her hand slid up my shirt to rest around my neck. There's no one else. Just you, I promised.
Okay.
Her eyes softened.
Take me home.
She stumbled off the bar stool and I hooked my arm around her waist, hauling her to my side. Well, since you asked so nicely. Sam immediately took Morgan's stool, demanding the tab from the bartender. Mia hopped down from the bar and grinned at Garrett.
Hi.
I've been warned about your brother, he replied, putting his hands up.
She rolled her eyes.
The guy is half a world away and still keeps me from getting laid. Unbelievable.
When Morgan stumbled again, I lifted her into my arms, careful to make sure her skirt covered her ass as I carried her from the bar. I tucked her into my passenger seat, then clipped the belt in place as Mia got into Sam's car under Garrett's supervision a few spots down.
Jackson?
Morgan tugged at my hand.
Yes?
I leaned back into the car. She locked onto the back of my neck and kissed me. Her tongue slid between my lips, and I opened on pure instinct. Fuck. She tasted like a raspberry lemon drop, citrus and berry and the sweet burn of alcohol. I licked into her mouth, then took her deep, my fingers tunneling into her hair as she moaned. It was just as electric as the first kiss. I hadn't blown it out of proportion or romanticized it. She lit my blood on fire. I kissed her breathless, and then did it again. I fell into her so deep that I knew this thing between us would only go one of two ways. We'd end up together, or we'd destroy each other in the process of trying. Groaning, I pulled back, breaking the kiss. God, Morgan.
Thank you.
She let go of my neck. For what?
For coming to get me.
She gave me an embarrassed smile. Anytime. I closed her door and turned around to see Garrett, Sam, and Sawyer leaning against her car.
You about done over there? Because my car's at your place.
Sawyer smirked. Yeah, yeah. I motioned him over and we all filed into the cars. Morgan was asleep by the time we got to her house. I parked in her driveway, then carefully lifted her into my arms after sending Sawyer and Garrett on their ways. Her head rolled against my chest, and she mumbled something about sleep and burrowed closer.
I've got you, I said softly.
I'll get the door,
Sam said, rushing ahead to open the front door for me. I carried Morgan up the stairs, into the house, and then up another set of stairs to the master bedroom. I'd only been here a few times when Diane and Carl had owned the place, and it looked entirely different now. Morgan had painted the room pale blue, contrasting with her white furniture. The result wasn't overly feminine, but clean and minimalist. I put her on the queen-size bed and started on her boots.
I'll get her changed, Sam said from the doorway. Don't go, Jackson,
Morgan demanded, kicking her boots off the rest of the way.
This is a bad idea, Montgomery.
I'll wait outside, I told Sam, then retreated to the relative safety of the hallway where I counted my breaths and planned an escape that didn't include crawling into bed with the woman who'd had me hard for 2 months, no matter how badly I wanted to. The door opened a few minutes later and Sam came out, leveling me with a skeptical glare. She's safe with me, I promised.
Oh, I know she is. Because my in-laws own a lot of sailboats, and the ocean is a fantastic place to hide a body.
She stared at me unflinchingly. You are a great friend, Sam.
I know that, too. Which is why I'm telling you that Morgan took me in when I had nowhere else to go. No questions asked. That's what she does for the people she loves. The girl is selfless to a fault, and I'll be damned if I slip on my watch and let her get hurt. You understand?
She stood in the doorway with crossed arms. I understand. Warning received. She sighed, then stepped aside.
Don't do anything that will make me hide your body. You look way too heavy for me to handle solo.
Noted. I nodded as I walked past her into Morgan's room. The bedside table light was on, and Morgan lay curled on her side facing the door.
Will you stay with me?
She asked.
Please?
It's not a good idea. I sat on the edge of her bed and kept my hands on top of the covers.
I didn't say it was a good idea, she countered sleepily. I asked if you'd stay, just until I fall asleep. Please?
Fuck. How the hell could I deny her when she was asking for the very thing I wanted?
easy, I couldn't. Just until you fall asleep. She smiled and patted the bed behind her. Cursing my idiocy, I took off my shoes and socks, then put my car keys and wallet on the bedside table next to her pile of sea glass, which reminded me of the present I still had in my glove box. I killed the light and climbed onto the bed. Tomorrow was Saturday, but the flight schedule said I had to keep my word and leave once she fell asleep. "Under the covers," she demanded, not even rolling over to look at me. "Kitty, that's not under the covers," she stated simply. "I trust you." "I'm not sure I trust myself," I muttered. But I did as she asked, just because I wanted to hold her. A week ago, she'd stood outside, slamming the truck door, and I thought I'd blown my shot with her. This morning, she'd come face to face with Claire, and then promptly run away, so hell yes, I wanted to hold her. I'd hold her every chance I had until she stopped running. "I'm in. Happy now?" Fully clothed, I turned on my side toward Morgan. She scooted until her back was against my chest. "Now I'm happy." I curved around her and she sighed, wiggling until her ass was firmly pressed into my hips and her legs molded around mine. My arm locked around her waist and I gave in to temptation and breathed in the scent of her hair while telling my body to settle the hell down. "You can't use words like relationship with me," she whispered. "You have to be patient." "Morgan," I stroked my thumb over her pajama-covered ribs. "I'm a mess. And you're..."
"Complicated," I offered.
"Right. And I like you, Jackson. I do. But you scare me."
"I'll never hurt you. Not intentionally," I promised, pulling her even tighter against me.
"I didn't used to be a coward," she muttered, her words slowing. "You would have liked me back then."
"You're not a coward, and I like you just fine now." I pressed a kiss to the top of her head.
"Just give me a second and I'll fall asleep. I promise."
Her breathing slowed as her words faded off. "I'm not in a rush, Morgan. I can wait as long as you need me to." I meant it, and not just about her falling asleep. I could wait for her to heal, to be ready for whatever we could be. There was no deadline when it came to us. She mumbled her assent, and I closed my eyes. When I opened them, it was morning.
Chapter 14. Morgan. The night of the graduation ball. Well, you were there. I should have known it then, but I woke up the next morning so scared that I couldn't offer you what you needed. It was never you, Morgan. It was always me. My body threatened to secede from the rest of my body with every step I took down the stairs. What the hell had I been thinking? Sam clattered around in the kitchen, the noise ratcheting up my pain to a 7 as I came around the corner and stepped onto the linoleum. One more week, and this baby would turn into hardwood. A frying pan grated against the stove burner, and I cringed. "Sit down," Sam pointed across the counter. How the hell did she look so perky? Even her ringlet curls bounced with more energy than I had in my entire body. I slid onto one of the stools and propped my elbows on the formica to cradle my aching head. A glass of water appeared in front of me, and Sam plunked 2 painkillers down next to it. I already took the ones you left on my nightstand with the water. I lifted my head enough to catch her flash of confusion before she smiled slightly. "I didn't leave those there. Must have been Jackson." She took the pills back with a little shake of her head. "Turns out Mr. Carolina is one of the good ones." Jackson. Oh, God, I had made an utter fool of myself last night. How bad was I? My fingers curled around the glass as Sam cracked 2 eggs in the pan. On a scale of 1 to me, you were probably about a 7. You definitely weren't at your best sitting up there, but you weren't dancing on the bar like it was Coyote Ugly either. She shrugged. Kill me now. I didn't think about the meds. She turned slightly, catching my eye. I know you didn't. If you had, then we'd be having a different discussion. I shouldn't have stepped out when you were ordering your drinks. You were talking to Grayson. Don't blame yourself for my shitty decision-making. Where's Mia anyway? She left 3 hours ago. My eyes flew to the clock. It's already noon. Sure is. She slid the eggs onto a plate, then grabbed a fork and set the food in front of me. Now eat. I tucked in, and Sam slid a cup of coffee over as my reward once I was finished. Thank you. No problem. She leaned on the counter as her lips lifted in a smirk. Now tell me how it was sleeping next to Jackson. The woman wiggled her eyebrows. What? I mean, oh shit, I had slept next to him. I'd begged the man to stay with me and then spooned up on him and... I fell asleep, I whispered. Well, yeah, I told him if he took advantage, I'd bury him at sea, so that better have been all you did. My eyes flew to hers. No, Sam, I fell asleep. No video. Her eyebrows rose. No Will video? She clarified. No, just Jackson. I hadn't slept a night without watching that video in the nearly 2 years since I'd been given it. It had become my lullaby, my prayer, my sleeping aid, and my plea to my own brain to let him into my dreams. What does that mean? Was it the alcohol? Jackson? God, am I using him to replace... Stop! Sam's hand covered mine. It means that you went a night without watching the video. Stop analyzing why you took the step and just be happy that you did. Be happy that you can sleep without it. Sure, if I'm drunk and have Jackson's arms around me. The second part of that recipe was easy enough to remedy. Either way, I'd done it. I slept without the video. I smiled as a chunk of weight lifted from my chest and I took a full, deep breath. You slept without the video. Sam squeezed my hand, all night, in Jackson's arms. Oh God, what time did he leave? Had he spent the entire night with me? I heard the door around 6 a.m. She grinned as she reached for her coffee. That man has it bad for you, Morgan Bartley. I scoffed. After watching me beat the tar out of Will's truck, then blasting him yesterday when his ex showed up and subsequently making him carry me home drunk and slept next to me, I have a feeling that man is running just as fast as he can. Or he would be if he didn't live next door. You didn't make that man do anything. He chose to be with you during all three of those... She struggled for words. Tantrums? I suggested. I was going to say outbursts, but you get the point. She reached toward a small box at the end of the counter and brought it to me. And besides, a man who's running away isn't leaving a woman gifts. He left this for me? I stared at the small white box in my hand as Morgan held out a folded piece of paper. And a note. She waved the paper over the box. And I've been waiting hours to know what's in that, so read. Stunned, I put the box on the counter and unfolded the note. Jackson's handwriting filled the page. Morgan, Finn helped me design this, so I hope you like it. This used to be a jar or a glass of some kind. All I know for certain is that it shattered at some point. It broke apart, then spent years in the waves and sand until it became something entirely new. No longer clear and sharp, but soft and opaque. When I saw this piece, it reminded me of you. Beautiful, resilient, and unique. I don't mourn what it used to be in its former life because it's precious to me exactly how it is now. I can't imagine it ever having been more beautiful, even whole. But I also know that at the center, it's still the same clear glass it always has been. The same glass, just made rare, not despite all it's been through, but because of it. Jackson. My breath abandoned me, and a spark flared in my chest. Hope. It was hope. Well, what does it say? Sam asked. I handed her the note, then opened the little white box. It was a teardrop-shaped piece of turquoise sea glass, a little bigger than a quarter, set in gold. My fingers trembled as I lifted it from the box that bore Christina Store's logo on the inside of the lid. The chain was long, a necklace, a stunningly beautiful necklace. Oh my God, Sam dragged out the last word. I stand by my earlier comment. That man has it bad for you. And he could definitely teach Grayson a thing or two in the letter writing department because, damn. I told him he would have liked me better before. I swallowed, then tried again. He would have liked me better the way I was before Will died. You know, when I was all sharp-tongued and vivacious without the alcohol? She snorted.
If you think your tongue isn't just as sharp, then it's only because you haven't been on the receiving end of it.
She set down the note as I put on the necklace.
Did losing Will change you?
Absolutely. But at your core, you're the same person you always have been, with the same big, beautiful heart. The fact that he sees that heart earns him my approval. But my opinion doesn't really matter here. Yours does.
I stared down at the pendant that rested just above my breasts. I really like him. I know. I'm really scared.
My eyes found hers.
I know that too. Anything new is scary. And that's without you already knowing the cost of risking your heart.
I'm not sure I have a heart to risk.
But that little flare of hope in my chest argued otherwise. If you didn't, you wouldn't be so scared.
She gave me an encouraging smile.
Now, are you ready for morning homework?
The recording. The usual dread settled on my shoulders, but it was lighter today, easier to bear. Every day this got a little easier. The improvement had been so small that I hadn't seen it to start with. But now that we were 7 weeks into the treatment, almost halfway, the progress was obvious. Hope. There it was again.
It's not really morning homework since it's afternoon, I quipped. Don't be a smartass,
Sam shot back, already going for the tape recorder. But there was a grin on her face.
For real. Are you ready?
I really was. Let's do it.
I paired my new necklace with simple gold studs, put on my favorite cream dress, and walked into the school district office on Monday at 10:45, exactly 15 minutes early from my intake meeting with the superintendent. In less than 4 months, I would be a fifth grade teacher. The house renovations would be complete, and then... what then? I was supposed to deliver a list of long-term goals to Dr. Searcy tomorrow, and I was drawing a big, fat blank. Did maintaining my sanity count as a goal? Or maybe trying to ease into a relationship, I mentally stumbled over the word, with Jackson? Jackson. A texted thank you wasn't enough, though he'd sworn it was. I wanted to see him, but he'd gone to nights this week, which meant whenever I was awake, he was asleep. Complicated indeed, but there was something to be said for anticipation. I signed in at the front desk, but I was too antsy to sit, so I passed the giant stand that announced Mother's Day tea was today, in honor of yesterday's holiday, and perused the artwork on the bulletin board in the hallway. The district offices shared this building with the preschool, so I searched the pretty painted rainbows until I found Finley's. I snapped a picture with my cell phone. I'd send it to Jackson once he was awake for the night. The door to my right opened, and an older woman with blonde hair ushered a little one into the hallway. "Why don't we try giving her a call one more time?" the teacher suggested. A very familiar pair of Vans kicked at the linoleum floor, but I couldn't see the child's face. "Why bother?"
I knew that voice, though. "Finley?" I walked around the teacher to confirm my guess. Her head lifted, and I was unprepared for the flare of disappointment in those brown eyes. Ouch.
It only lasted a second before she tried to force a shaky smile. "Hi, Morgan. Did Daddy send you?"
The teacher eyed me warily, and I checked her name tag. Mrs. Kosher. "Hi, Mrs. Kosher. I'm Morgan Bartley. I'm Finley's next-door neighbor and the new fifth-grade teacher over at the elementary school." I said so she wouldn't call the guards on me. Then I sank down on my heels, so I was eye level with Finley.
"No, honey, I'm here for a meeting.
What's wrong?"
"It's Mother's Day tea," she said softly,
her eyes falling away. Guess that explained the sparkly dress.
"Well, that sounds fun."
I took her little hand and gave it a squeeze.
"Everyone else has their mom," she whispered,
staring at the floor. My gaze flew up to meet Mrs. Kosher's, and she shook her head. Claire hadn't come. I swallowed the ball of rage that was working its way up my throat.
"And you gave her a call?"
I asked quietly. Finley nodded, then sniffed as two fat teardrops fell from her cheeks to the checkered floor.
"Well,
How late is she? Maybe she's just running a little behind, honey. God, please let that be the case. Do not let Claire break Finley's little heart. Finley brought her face up, and I wiped away two more tears. She's really late. There's only two kids left to read their poems. My heart ached, but I managed to smile. Let's do what your teacher suggested and call her again. She lunged herself at me and I caught her, keeping careful balance on my heels. She's not coming. She never does. But this time, Claire had told her she would. Otherwise, Finley would never have expected her. My dislike of the woman exploded into pure loathing. How the hell did you not show up to Mother's Day tea at your daughter's school? The same way you walk out when she's a baby.
Why didn't she come?
Her little face tucked into my neck as I rubbed circles on her back. What can I do to help you, honey? I didn't know how to answer her question, so I asked one of my own. She shook her head and pulled out of the hug, but as her eyes fell, she paused.
You have the necklace!
A smile lit up her face as she snarfled up the snot her tears had brought on.
Do you like it?
I love it, I assured her. I just haven't seen you to say thank you yet. So, thank you, Finley. It's beautiful.
I picked gold, she announced with a solemn